And now it's time for the TOT Cast with your hosts, Chris Okranitz and Ryan Greco.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the TOT Cast. This is a very special edition. I mean, it's been a crazy week, and just gearing up for the BioSteel All-Canadian High School basketball game happening this coming Monday. And something I thought me and Chris would do is just spend an episode to go over the events that we have planned ahead going into this weekend, including tonight, where we have the Regional Stars Rising competition, which is a showcase of the top 9th and 10th graders in Southern Ontario. They've got that going on tonight at the Athlete Institute. Very exciting event. And right after that, they're going to be having the three-point shootout, which is going to be having some of the top players in the game itself on Monday. That's going to be taking place right after that. And of course, the grand finale, the slam dunk competition, which is going to be taking place tonight at around 8 o'clock. So what we really wanted to try and do for this episode is get a chance to speak with some of the people involved in this event. We had a chance to speak with the CIA Bounce founder, Tony McIntyre, and talk to him a little bit about how this event came to be. Talk to him as well a little bit about how he even came to be. He's one of the most unlikely figures in basketball in this country to come to the prominence in the way that he did. I mean, going from hockey and switching over and just starting off as a simple house league coach and building it into and building the CIA Bounce in the organization that we see before us today, I mean, is nothing short of remarkable. After that, we also then have actually one of the players that are going to be taking place not just in the All-Canadian High School game on Monday, but is actually going to be taking part in the slam dunk contest tonight, and that is none other than Mississauga's own Jalen Llewellyn. So, of course, we're keeping it local here on Tip of the Tower. So, finally, to end it all out, I was very excited to get the opportunity to speak with the one and only Leo Routens of TSN, Sportsnet, NBA TV, Canada Basketball, you name it, he's done it. Former Syracuse alumni, one of the first ever Canadian to ever be drafted in the NBA as a lottery pick. I mean, one of the most accomplished players to ever come out of Canada. So we had an opportunity to speak with him for a lengthy period of time, and he was just talking about the state of the game, how his thoughts on this event, and even just a couple of words about Thon Maker, of course, representing Orangeville, who has recently declared for the NBA draft, and he's going to be a part of this game as well. So we had a chance to talk to him about a lot of that stuff, and it was just a very exciting week. And so we're just going to kick this off right away, and we're going to lead into the CIA Bounce founder. This was the discussion I had with the one and only Tony McIntyre, so I hope you all enjoy.
Here we are here in the TOT Cast. Of course, this is me, Ryan Greco, and we have the pleasure of being joined by the founder of CIA Bounce and also the head of the selection committee for the 2016 BioSteel All-Canadian High School game, Mr. Tony McIntyre. Thank you so much for taking time out from what I'm sure is a very busy schedule leading up to this game. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Ryan. Thank you for having me on, and I'm looking forward to this coming week and this weekend's event. So great time for basketball in Canada.
Absolutely. And before we start into the actual game itself, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it actually blew my mind when you told me it. So how does somebody like yourself, who started off most of his life getting involved in hockey and playing hockey, turn what was, according to you at the time, really more of just kind of a pastime passion in basketball, and how did you turn it from that into basically what we see before us today?
You know, growing up, I always played hockey and basketball, and you know, you get into high school and you kind of got to make a decision once you get into high school of, you know, what winter sport are you going to play. And I chose to continue playing hockey until I was 18. I had a serious injury when I was 18, I couldn't play hockey anymore. So I kind of became disgruntled with the game and the sport, and said I'm going to go to the thing that I loved, you know, the next best at that time, and that was basketball. And I wanted to be able to get back into the game and give back. There's so many coaches, you know, through my sporting career, gave me opportunity and took time out of their, you know, their day and their families to help me, you know, as a kid from a single mother, you know, achieve what I needed out of school. So I wanted to start it, you know, back into the sport of basketball and be able to do the same thing. And it's been a long process, and I just started coaching some house league teams and then a rep team, and kind of grew from there into, you know, after several years wanting to part ways and start my own thing. So,
yeah.
You know, it's been a process.
And describe for me if you can, because it's one thing to spend your time volunteering and helping out teams and, you know, to your words, what you were saying about like the house league and then even starting a rep team yourself. At what moment did you realize, if you can pinpoint a single moment, because, you know, you've been involved with some of the biggest names in Canadian basketball, especially during this generation, whether it was Anthony Bennett or Andrew Wiggins or Tyler Ennis or any of these guys. So if there's one specific moment where you said, you know, this is serious, like this is turning into something extremely special, could you name it?
I don't know if I could name a specific time, but there was a series of events that kind of, you know, led to formation of CIA Bounce, per se, but I think that was kind of a turning point when we had, you know, I was with another organization and had a great team that had a roster of Tristan Thompson, Dylan Ennis, Pat Donnelly, you know, the list kind of goes on and on.
Yeah.
And they were young, grade 7, 8, and I wanted to take them down and play AU, and the organization I was with didn't think that any of those kids would get a scholarship and that I was wasting my time. And that was when we kind of left and said, you know, we're going to start Bounce Basketball. And I think that became a turning point. And, you know, that year when we left, started Bounce Basketball, and then joined with Mike George and CIA to form CIA Bounce.
Yeah.
We knew we had something special there. And, you know, Mike and myself sat down and said, you know, what are our goals? And our goal was to get a kid a scholarship. And we knew we had two teams full of kids with scholarship potential. So I think that was kind of a major turning point in our program that kind of led to, you know, many more kids, like you mentioned, the Anthony Wiggins, the Anthony Bennett, the Tyler Ennis, the Xavier Rayton Mays. Those were the kids that, you know, benefited as a result of those first kids that came through our programs and set the tone and the standards and started to make a name for our program.
Mm-hmm. And that's insane to think that there was a time where, you know, or even to even hear that, to say that, you know, you see a kid at Tristan Thompson in grade 7 or 8, being even the size he was then, to say that he wouldn't have even gotten a scholarship. But, you know, a lot of people nowadays would think that's crazy, but that was a very real stigma back then, especially because those guys were all 89, 90s kids. And that was around at the time where, even when I was playing basketball in high school, and you would hear, oh yeah, CIA Bounce, that kid plays for Bounce. Oh yeah, they're all right. Nowadays, it's like, oh my God, this kid plays for Bounce sort of thing, right?
it was like that back, you know, 89, 90, you know, the Tristan Thompsons or the 91s. It was crazy because back then it was like, okay, CIA Bounce, yeah. It really, you know, you walk in a gym, and it wasn't until after the first year when we merged, we had two teams that ended up winning every single tournament that year and faced each other in the finals of every tournament, and then faced each other in Ottawa in the OBA championship. So I think that was kind of the year where it was like, okay, we could expand and start to add some age groups and get a little bit younger, and people started to recognize and realize that, you know, there's something special that has started.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to the game itself here, it's obviously, we live in a big country, just specifically by landmass. We got a lot of people that live in it. Now, what are some of the criteria for the selecting players that you guys go through, you being the head of the selection committee? And actually, as well, how challenging can it be to make sure that all of Canada is fully represented in this game? Because really, like Ontario and Quebec specifically, and also a bit of British Columbia, are the real provinces that are making the leaps and bounds. So what are some of the criteria and what are some of the challenges making sure that everybody is fully represented?
Well, you know, when we started the game last year, one of the things that we wanted to do was make sure that we had a good representation from across Canada of basketball people. And for the formation of the selection committee last year, and as it is this year, was based on people that had good knowledge of what was going on in each of their provinces, as well as, you know, whether they're in the media or whether they're in basketball, knowing who the best players were, but also kind of stayed in tune with what was going on in the other provinces. So we really wanted to make sure that, you know, our 10-member selection committee represented basketball in Canada, but also represented each of the provinces that they represent. So I wouldn't say it's challenging to get the selection committee, what's challenging is people having people understand what the selection committee does and what the head of the selection committee does. And, you know, when I discuss those types of things, I think everyone thinks that I pick the players that are in the game, but I actually have zero say in the game. The way that we have it set up. What I do is send out an email to each of the selection committee members, have a discussion with them to fill out a ballot that is a blank ballot of having each of the members fill 50 players that they think are deserving of the Mini BioSteel game. So each of those 10 members across the country fill out the ballot of 50 players. That ballot comes back and it's sent to Adam Hoffman, who is a separate entity, you know, that tabulates those results from Pretty River Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah.
And he basically then gives me back, an email that is forwarded to the selection committee with top 36 names. So based on everyone filling out the 50, who were the 36 most votes of those 50 times the 10 people? When that happens, each of those 10 selection committee members then goes and picks 24 players of those 36 that will form the rosters for the BioSteel game. There's a couple rules that are in there, and one of those rules is that you can only pick six Canadian players that are playing in U.S. prep schools if they're from Ontario. So what we want.
Why just Ontario?
Because what happens is, What would eliminate a lot of the other provinces is oftentimes in, you know, let's say British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, Quebec, or Nova Scotia, a lot of those kids go down to prep school, and best players there are doing that because there is no alternative.
So yeah.
What would happen is if you had that number six for all of Canada, some of the kids from those other provinces wouldn't make the game. By saying that it's from Ontario, because it is typically Ontario, Quebec heavy, due to the population.
Yeah.
We wanted to spread it out to be able to not take out any of the players from the other provinces and punish them for the fact that they went now to the U.S. For prep school. And then the rest of the players are made up of anyone else in Canada. So six U.S. prep players that are from Ontario. And then it's open, so the other, 18 players are from anywhere in Canada. Basically, the rules that were behind it, you know, there's an age restriction that you couldn't be older than a fifth year, and there's no other restrictions on terms of age or grade lower than, you know, fifth year.
Mm-hmm. And the game itself is only in its second year, so it's still particularly young. At some point, would you be willing to advocate for the idea of having the main game itself? Because you guys already do have a Rising Stars a game that happens out in the Athlete Institute, usually on the Saturday before the big event. Would you advocate at some point for this BioSteel game to eventually be a seniors-only sort of event? And would you also at some point start advocating a women's game as well for it once it's grown in talent pool, I guess you could say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll kind of take it back. So this year's, we called it a regional Rising Stars game because it's really a local grade 9 and 10 game.
Yeah.
For the younger kids, just as a part of the Sunday festivities at the Bassett Institute, which includes the BMO slam dunk competition and the Sport Check 3-point shootout. So, you know, just to get some of the younger kids interested and be able to showcase some of the local talent, we've done a regional All-Canadian game as well. In terms of making the BioSteel All-Canadian game, which will be on Monday night this year at UST, seniors only game. Yeah, we've had those discussions. We felt as though, we needed to open it up to high school age players, in the first couple of years. I think that the sport of basketball and Canada, you know, is going to be able to, accommodate a seniors only game, within the next couple of years. I think we'll definitely look at that from a board of directors standpoint. That's some of the feedback that we received this year as well. But it also allows, you know, if you get a kid that's in grade 11 that's in the game, it gives him an opportunity to play in it for 2 years and become somewhat of a household name because games on TSN.
Yeah.
So you know, there's both pros and cons to it. We definitely will look at that going into next year's game for sure. And then the third question was female component to it. Yeah, we will definitely start to look at a female component to the BioSteel game as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, how important is it for your organization, just, you know, whether it's BioSteel or more CIA Bounce, actually, and also for Athlete Institute, that which has also had a heavy hand in this event being done, and Canada Basketball, who's also been a major partner in this. How important is it for all of these organizations that this event is now going to be getting prime time airtime showing viewing compared to last year when it was just a pre-taping? Because everything last year just seemed like, you know, it was the first of its kind, so everything was kind of like a wait and see sort of scenario and what kind of product you have on the floor. And now that you guys have kind of proven it, so how vindicating is it to know that now TSN is really going to go full frontal into this and be fully committed and giving you guys a prime time slot on one of their main networks?
I mean, it's amazing that we're able to do that in the second year. You know, in terms of CIA Bounce and Athlete Institute, I don't think that, you know, we play any role in this game other than we sit on the board of directors who, you know, as individuals that wanted to start this game. That really want to keep it separate from what this game is, and you know, a celebration of every program, every player, every coach, every high school throughout Canada, and really keep the AAU part of it out, or the prep school part of it out, and really just focus in on this game has the best players from the best programs all across Canada, and everyone's working together on creating a stage and an opportunity and a moment in time for these players to be on national TV with a great partner like TSN. Last year, in our first year, we were up against the day that we wanted to do the game and the availability of the facility. We fell on the same day that the Raptors were playing the Boston Celtics, so we were on tape delay that day. And this year, we selected a day where we worked with TSN and our facility as well as our game, to limit the amount of days that the kids are going to miss school as well. Mm-hmm. It was a contributing factor to move it to the Monday night this year. Mm-hmm. So it ended up, you know, checking off all the boxes for us and saying, hey, you know, the kids miss last school, check. There's no Raptors game, check. That we have a great facility, check. We got a night when nothing else is on and we're going to be on every TSN platform. Perfect. Let's move ahead with this. It's awesome synergy, and you know, we're so proud of, you know, what's going to put on that floor on Monday night, April 11th.
I brought up Athlete Institute just because I know that you have a role with Athlete Institute as well up in Orangeville, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on Jamal Murray and the season that he just had with Kentucky. And now, what are your thoughts on him declaring for the draft, and what kind of adjustments do you think it will be for him when he gets to the league? He's shown through whether it was the Pan Am Games or even on the stage here in the NCAA tournament that he's not afraid of the big lights, and he doesn't seem like the kind of kid that's going to get rattled easily in his pro life. But I'm just curious to think what your thoughts might be, because you've had an opportunity to be around him a few times, especially before he really kind of blew up, if you will. So just wanted your thoughts on his next step in his career and what you think will come of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, being around Jamal for his entire high school career, a little bit before that, too. Club ball as well as up at Africa Institute's, you know, he's a hardworking kid. Him and his father Roger have done a great job. Roger trains him every day, and you know, mentally and physically, the kid's ready. He stepped into Kentucky after reclassifying to go early. You know, what's really phenomenal about what Jamal's done is he was supposed to be a senior in high school this year. You know,
wow.
He, you know, went into Kentucky and lights on and just performed. And we've seen him do that over and over. The bigger the stage, the more the lights, the better he is. And I think, you know, him declaring for the draft and headed to the NBA is, you know, what he's been looking at. You know, when he's in the gym working out with, you know, Wiggins and Bennett and Ennis and all the other guys while he was growing up, you know, he had a goal, a dream, and, you know, I knew he was a one-and-done kid from the time he was in grade 10, 11. You know, it was something that I had been around and saw in him, and I honestly wasn't surprised what he did at Kentucky. Because I've seen it so many times, but I think he's going to be a great pro. You know, I think a lot of people have been asking me lately, you know, how high he can go in the draft to be a top 3 pick, depending on what team gets that number one pick and what their need is. There's a real possibility that I even believe. I think he can go number one.
And moving from one BioSteel MVP to going on to this year, last question, Tony. Is there anyone in particular now? A lot of people, especially people around the high school basketball scene, they know of Thon Maker. They know of even Ignis Brzdikas now that he, you know, he kind of had his coming out party, I guess you could say, against Oak Hill Academy at the Jordan Brand. There's obviously Mature Maker. There's, you know, Javon Blair as well. He's been around now for a couple of years. Is there anyone outside of some of these guys that you would recommend keeping an eye on going into this game, and what kind of performance might be able to surprise the crowd when they go to the U of T to see this game?
Well, I mean, there's going to be all kinds of great players in this game. Obviously, there's the top 24 kids in Canada. But, I mean, a name that people should look at, Justin Jackson, outside of the ones that you mentioned there. And I mean, Jerome DeRozier last year in the game put on a show, had a smile on his face, had a great time, had a couple of helps. Did well and he's back again this year. And you know, the guard play is going to be great this year with guys like Colby, who was a McDonald's All-American nominee, Walker, Shea Alexander. You know, there's some high-level guys in this game that are just going to come out there. And then obviously, young boy Andrew Nemhard, who's got quite a buzz. So I mean, when you go through this roster, anyone could step up and you know, just kind of take over. You've got Nikola Jogo that's going to Notre Dame. Brissette, who had an outstanding season out at Finley Prep this year. So, you know, it goes on and on. Guys that got a lot of hype, Godwin, who just signed at UIC. So, I mean, there's so many. I think these guys are actually going to come into this game and really go at each other. There's a amount of NBA personnel and buzz that's around the game. I think step out there, put on a great show for everyone this year.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, speaking of NBA personnel, I saw you at the Jordan Brand chatting it up with Carmelo Anthony there, because he was getting a lot of love from the crowd during that game. And what kind of relationship do you have with him? Was that just more of a run-in, or was it like, or is that someone that you've actually known for a few years?
Well, Carmelo, obviously the connection to Syracuse, Tyler. You know, just the whole, as Canada basketball has really been growing, he's taken a genuine interest. And part of what we talked about doing was, he's got a TV show, that he's working on, and we wanted to have a discussion, about the rise of basketball in Canada and he wants to help promote it. And, you know, proud, obviously, you know, being playing at Syracuse and, you know, having so many Canadians that have gone through the Syracuse program, he just takes a general interest in what's going on up here. And, you know, he just wanted to really just reach out and talk ball and talk about the guys that are up and coming and the guys that are in college and guys that he should watch out for in the NBA. So, you know, it was more of just a follow-up discussion and that we had been talking about and trying to get more well-known for basketball in Canada.
Well, I'd like, as a Canadian basketball fan, I would like to be the first to formally extend an invitation to Carmelo Anthony to become one of our assistant coaches when he retires, whether it's for the national team or the junior national team. We can get him a green card. He can set him up with a condo up here. It'll be great.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm an honorary Canadian.
Absolutely. Tony McIntyre, thank you so much for taking the time joining us here on the TOTcast. We hope to talk sometime soon, especially with the AAU circuit starting up, CIA bounce. You know, as with every year, we're expecting big things from you guys and making some noise down in the States. So once again, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and anytime. I'm always here.
I appreciate it, Tony. Have a great rest of your day, and enjoy your week, because I know it's going to be busy.
It will, but it's always fun. Appreciate it.
Take care.
And of course, that was Tony McIntyre, CIA Bounce founder, also the head of the selection committee for the BioSteel All-Canadian High School game taking place this Monday. really candid conversation. One of those kind of guys, just a true architect in how the game is being perceived today in Canada. So a lot of thanks to him for taking time joining us here on the TOT cast. Now, the next person we have up is actually one of his players during the summertime, during the AAU season, and that's Jalen Llewellyn, who is also going to be participating in the Canadian high school game this year. Former product of Father Gates Secondary School before joining Orangeville Prep this season. Local Mississauga kid, really bright, really intelligent, makes a lot of very good decisions on the floor, a lot of athleticism. And seeing him from what he was even just a year ago to what he's turned into now through facing the competition he's faced is nothing short of incredible. So we had an opportunity to speak with him for a little bit. And of course, above all else, we asked him, who his favorite dunkers are, seeing as he's now going to be involved in the dunk contest taking place on the Sunday nights. And he told me after the interview he's going to be putting together something that we've never seen before. So make sure you check that out when you can. And here it is, our interview and sit down with Jalen Llewellyn.
And welcome back to the TOT cast. Of course, my name is Ryan Greco, and joining me this hour is one of the actual participants of this year's BioSteel All-Canadian High School game, Jalen Llewellyn of Orangeville Prep. Jalen, thank you so much for taking time out of what I'm sure has been a very busy day to speak for us for a few minutes here on the TOT cast.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jalen, I just wanted to ask you a couple of brief questions. Just let the listeners get a better idea of who you are as a person. Originally from Mississauga, Ontario, this is your first season playing in the OSBA, the prep circuit up here in Canada. But you've had a little bit more experience than that coming into this. So tell us a little bit about how it was that you came to join Orangeville Prep.
I think it was definitely the national scene and the AAU really helped that, because I'm playing against more like talented players, and that really helped me coming to Orangeville, because I'm playing against so many good players. Like the regular high school scene that I was playing in last year, it wasn't the best competition, so I had to learn from playing from AAU and Team Canada how to play against really good players.
And so when you had an opportunity to kind of come into this spotlight, the lights are a little bit brighter, the attention's a little bit more on detail. You're a much more you've always came across as a bit more of an introverted person. So has any of this experience kind of had to make you make any adjustments as far as being a little bit more accessible, whether it was to teammates or whether it was to media, especially given this whole situation right now with the BioSteel game and getting selected to this team, or any of the experience that you spent with Team Canada during the Worlds over the summer? Has any of that kind of prepped you for what's inevitably going to be the next step for you next year?
Yeah, it definitely helped me kind of like open up, because playing at this high of a level, you definitely have to, as a point guard, like develop leadership skills, and that comes with a lot of communication. So through practices and games, I have to learn to speak more and get my teammates involved, like communicate with them, and it will help with like events like this with BioSteel, because there's a lot of like press and media and reporters and stuff like that, and you have to be able to speak your mind, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so talk to me a little bit about your experience on the court this year, playing in the OSBAs and playing on the circuit down in the States with the prep schools. What was your funnest experience on the floor? Is there any specific team that you guys played against, or any specific tournament where you were thinking to yourself, man, this is it, like this is what I love doing, and this is what it's really all about?
I would say most fun was probably in Hoopaw, when we played Mount Verde Academy. That was just even though we lost that game, it was good, because we all played really hard, and I felt like I was doing all the things that I like to do. I was finding my teammates and scoring when I needed to, and it just felt like that was just a really good game on my part and my teammates' part. Mm-hmm. But even though I wish we could have won that game, but it was still
of course
a good experience.
Of course, man. You're, at the end of the day, you're a competitor, right?
Yeah.
Now, that must have been a lot of fun going up against RJ as well, because he's been getting a lot of press up here, whether it's through Sportsnet or TSN, and like, and you've played with him as well over the summer. So was there any kind of any extra motivation going up against him?
Yeah, it definitely was going against RJ and Simi.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've both been my teammates, and so we were playing against them, so kind of like a friendly competition. But yeah, it was good.
Was there any trash talking after the game?
No. Yeah, there wasn't that much. A little bit before the game, but after, we were all good.
Nice. And so talk to me a little bit about so this event now, BioSteel. Now, you've kind of had already a bit of an exposure to lights this bright, I guess you could say, in Toronto, because you took part in the Jordan Brand Classic against, of all schools, Oak Hill Academy, and you had Carmelo Anthony sitting front row and center watching you guys play. I mean, talk about that experience for us.
It was like unbelievable to believe that like players of that caliber are sitting there watching myself and my friends. But like it was just crazy playing in that atmosphere. I was a little nervous at first, but I settled down and got used to it. But it was still amazing.
What are some of the lessons you took away from that game that you will be looking to apply to this event here happening on Monday?
A big one would be definitely not to worry about what's outside of the court. It just matters about what's inside those four lines, your teammates and your coaches, and not to really worry about the fans or press or what other people might think. Just play my game and have fun, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a few guys that have already been in this game, guys like Thon, and there's a couple of guys in your organization that have been to this last year. Have you gotten any advice from them about how to handle this event? Because it's a long one, right? I mean, you guys have been doing nothing but media all day since about, what, 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of effort that a lot of people are going into to showcasing you guys, so sometimes it can be overwhelming to somebody who hasn't done this. Now, it's one thing to do with the Jordan Brand, and that was interesting, and that was a big deal. But at the same time, it was almost kind of like a smaller cursor to the All-Star events that was happening in Toronto to begin with, right? But this event is a little bit more focused on you guys specifically. So is there any kind of advice you might have gotten from anybody in the academy that you've been either with Orangeville Prep or any of your opponents, Athlete Institute, who you guys train with occasionally? Any advice that they've given you?
Most of them said last year it was like their first time in it, so they were nervous coming out and this thing out. Looking back, they didn't really think they played that well, so this year they're looking to come out and just play and have fun. So I'm trying to learn from them and try and do what they're doing this year to make my first experience even better.
Tell me what you think would be a good game for Jalen Llewellyn.
A good game would definitely be, I don't expect to be scoring that much. Definitely have like, a couple buckets here and there, but like, definitely, finding my teammates when I'm in the game, making sure that, they're put in the positions to showcase what they can do. A good game would definitely be making sure I'm, controlling the tempo and not turning over the ball. Because I know that's a big thing that like, scouts or whoever's watching, they pay attention to it. So, and pretty much just trying to lead the team and have fun.
Just before we get to the big game, we do have the skills competition going on, and a little birdie told me that you're going to be participating in the dunk-off. Is that true?
Yep, I am.
And, I mean, so you've got some shoes to fill, I must say, because Jalen Poyser, he put on quite the show for us. Between him and Jamal Murray, a few of the guys that were involved there. I mean, given everything that have you taken any kind of inspiration from the dunk off that we had at the All-Star break? And if there was, who is your favorite dunker to watch?
I really like Zach Levine and Aaron Gordon. I personally think Aaron Gordon should have won, but
nice.
Both of them were really good.
You're so soft-spoken, yet you can be so controversial sometimes, man, honestly. Who's your favorite dunker to watch in a game?
I would say I watched some highlights. I didn't really catch many of his games in the prime, but I would say Vince Carter during like his Raptor days, because his in-game dunks were ridiculous.
Can you walk us through any specific dunk that you appreciated in-game?
Yeah, I think there was one. I don't remember who they were playing or who threw the pass, but they lobbed it to him, and he caught it in windmill in-game, so that's pretty ridiculous.
I know that one. I know that one. I think that was against the Spurs, but I could be wrong. So, listeners, don't eviscerate me if I can't figure that one out properly. But, man, all right, well then, once again, Jalen, Llewellyn, thank you very much for joining us. Future BioSteel Slam Dunk Contest champion. Future BioSteel MVP. I'm just saying it. I don't know what could happen. Anything could happen. We don't know what can happen, Jalen. So let's just all have fun this weekend and find out, shall we?
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's been a busy day, so go rest up. Get those springs nice and coiled for tonight. Yeah. And take care of yourself, man. And yes, just best of luck this weekend. And we're all rooting for you out here in Sauga City.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's Jalen Llewellyn of Orangeville Prep and of the BioSteel All-Canadian High School game. And once again, that was Jalen Llewellyn of Orangeville Prep, who is going to be taking part in the Slam Dunk Contest on Sunday night and is going to be taking part in the BioSteel All-Canadian High School game itself on the Monday night. Really talented kid, as I said before when I was introducing him, and real pleasure to talk to him. Very low-key kid, but, I mean, he's anything but low-key when he's on the floor. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. Now, there was somebody who actually had some pretty high praises for him, and that was none other than Leo Routens, and that's actually going to be our next guest on this episode of the TOT Cast. I had an opportunity to sit down with Leo for a good half an hour over the phone and just discussing some things regarding, you know, how Canadian basketball has came to be where it is right now compared to how it even was when he was coming up. I mean, he really went into depth about the changes in coaching and attitude towards preparing these kids as they're moving into now the professional ranks, and how the grassroots movement itself has really pushed towards what we're seeing today. And even just being an advocate for the idea of keeping talent mostly here, and even going as far as saying that he would love to see a day where the Canadian universities are able to take it a level above, and maybe even creating their own Division I league where universities can play themselves or have scholarships and things of that nature. So he gets into a lot of detail with that sort of stuff near the end of the interview. So, I mean, it was just a fascinating half hour discussing everything that we did with him and the advice that he, in a sense, gave Thonmaker. And I think that it's something that you'll all just really enjoy. If you guys know me and you know how involved I am in basketball in high school in this country, and especially here in Southern Ontario, this will be a real treat to listen to. So I'm going to give to you now, without any delay, none other than Leo Routens of TSN, NBA TV, Sportsnet, Canada Basketball, you name it, he's done it. Here he is, Leo Routens.
Welcome everybody back to the TOT Cast. Of course, I'm Ryan Greco, and today we have a very, very special guest willing to take the time to talk to us. He is a TSN analyst for Toronto Raptors, NBA TV, Sportsnet. He's been just about everywhere there is to be in Canadian media, seen everything you could possibly see in the world of basketball. Leo Routens, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Ryan. Good to be here.
So, Leo, just a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. Your opinion on really just the grassroots swelling that we've seen here in Canada as far as basketball goes. You had an opportunity just recently to cover the Jordan Brand game that had the Orangeville Prep take on Oak Hill Academy, and also Father Henry Carr was involved in that event, and you've had an opportunity to be around even at the BioSteel game last year. Tell me some of your thoughts on everything that you've seen in the last couple of years that's impressed you the most about this sudden surge, really, in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years of Canadian basketball at the grassroots level.
Oh, it's been amazing. You know, the growth has been short of phenomenal. There's so many kids playing, and you know, I'm kind of closer to it than you think. I have a son that's playing and involved in, you know, AAU program, and what I kind of had a great eye opening last summer. You know, traveling around the we were in different places, Atlantic City, Indiana, Springfield, Massachusetts, just kind of bouncing around and doing the route. And something just really jumped out at me, that the most dominant, the team that my son was playing on was the most dominant team in almost every tournament that we were in. Here's the crazy part. The other teams that were the most dominant were the other Canadian teams. And in one tournament, the best other team was kind of the second team from his program. So, to me, that just said, wow, you take a look around, what's going on here. And these are some pretty good tournaments with, pretty good teams from, notable U.S. AAU programs. So it just showed to me, what's really happening, that, there's just so many kids playing at such a high level. And I think one of the big things that's happening, with all the AAU programs, Bounce, the Northern Kings, Canada Elite, all those different programs, you're seeing much better coaching. Kids are being exposed to better coaching, better opportunities. So it's not just rolling up the ball and having these kids play. They're being taught how to play. They're getting practice time in. And I also think that they're getting great inspiration from all the Canadian kids that have gone on and now playing in either big time basketball in the collegiate level or in the NBA. And all the lottery picks and so forth, first round picks that Canada's had. Now they're saying, hey, this is something I can do. This is something that I can strive for. And I think it's becoming very much a reality for so many kids now that understand if you put in the work, you put in the time, you're going to have some great opportunities. So as a result, you're seeing this enormous swell, at the grassroots level, for the game in this country. And it's just great to see.
Absolutely. I mean, and going on to that, one of the best examples we've seen of that in the last, I'd say, about year or two has been Jamal Murray and his ascension. Now, he's a really unique case, in my opinion, from what we've seen compared to anything else that has came out of this country. He's really the first kid that we've seen almost, I could even argue, since we saw you playing for St. Mike's, that we've seen a kid who's genuinely spent his entire playing career representing a Canadian school and then finally making the jump over into Kentucky. And above all else, he did this when really he should actually still be in grade 12. That's one thing that completely blew my mind when I found out about that. Now, with that being said, and him as pretty much the prime example of this, is it important to you at all that these players find a way to stay home, or does it really necessarily matter? Because I've also been hearing rumblings of RJ coming home and playing for a prep school up here at some point. We've seen guys like Jalen Poyser make the jump from Findlay Prep, which was the premier place to be in the United States for prep school basketball, and then now making the jump and coming back to play for the Athlete Institute. Is this something that would be important to you particularly, or do you think this is something important for Canadian players to see, or is it just a byproduct of better coaching, as you say, up here?
Well, I think there's more of a history to this. I mean, you mentioned my situation where, I basically did it from here. Jamal McGlure became an all-star in the NBA, right?
Yes, Eastern Commerce, that's right.
Going to Kentucky. Kelly Olynyk stayed in Canada. Kevin Pangos stayed in Canada. So, you can go down a list that there's more kids, but my point being that I think it really comes down to an individual choice of what you think is best for you. I don't ever want to tell a kid he shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. It really depends on where you think you can get your best development. But what I'm excited about is that there are great opportunities for kids to stay. Mm-hmm. And that's the important point, that I think there was a time where we saw a mass exodus and kids were just going to go. And I think that was bad because a lot of kids got lost in the shuffle. A lot of kids went to situations that frankly were not good, not healthy for them. Mm-hmm. And choices were being made for them as opposed to them picking the best situation for themselves. And a lot of that was naivety on their part or ignorance and not really understanding the whole picture or their families or other people involved with them. So now you're seeing kids are much more educated on their options. And to have options in Canada is just amazing. I love the idea of the OSBA having a prep league where the best kids can go and compete against each other
and stay home. You know, people sometimes forget, you know, when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, to go live, you know, in another country, in another, and you don't know what the conditions are, even if they're ideal, it doesn't make it great for a young kid to be, you know, away from his family, away from the people he knows and what he's comfortable with, at such an early age. Not every kid is ready for that. So, I'm thrilled with the idea that these kids now have more options, to stay. I think high school level basketball, obviously with the number of kids playing, gets better and better. The OSBA and what that provides, and hopefully that's going to continue to grow and get better. But when you have, you know, Orangeville Prep, Athletes Institute, and all the other schools that are available to these kids now, I think it's great. And the big point is that, you know, coaching is getting better. These kids are getting, you know, now they're getting the same type of coaching they could get if they go somewhere else. So if you're getting the coaching and you're getting the competition, you know, why do you need to leave? And I think that's what we're starting to see right now. And that's just going to make it a much better situation, in this country for all these young kids playing.
I wanted to touch on actually the MVP of the OSBA for a brief moment, because he's made some pretty serious headwaves both up here in Canada and the United States, and of course that's Thon Maker. And you know, it's interesting when you're pointing out the idea of what's a good fit for you, the decisions that are being made by the kids as opposed to decisions being made for them at a certain time. And it really seems like Thon, in the situation that he is in right now, I mean, he's 19. He could very well be able to bypass this rule or clause that they have for him to go straight into the NBA draft. Now, a lot of people have came out of the woodwork now, because a lot of the conversation beforehand has been, well, you know, if he just has a little bit more time doing this, and almost everybody was expecting him to do college. Anybody who had actually really been following him knew that there was a real possibility that he could have actually done the pro route, even though it never really seemed like it was the wisest decision looking from the outside. But I mean, we could all sit here and be armchair GMs when it comes to that sort of stuff. But I think really the question I just wanted to ask you is, how important is it for a kid to be able to understand what he's truly capable of at the level, at any kind of level, whatever decision he's making, whether it's Division I or whether it's going to the NBA, because it can be a life-changing experience for him, for better or for worse.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, I'm not big on, you know, the NBA rule that limits, you know, high school kids going to the NBA. I don't think we should limit anybody or restrict anybody. You know, hey, if you're good enough to go, you should be able to go. If it doesn't work out for you, or if an NBA team makes a bad decision, well, that's basically your problem and their problem. And that's something that, you know, everybody would have to, over time, become smarter and smarter about making those decisions. But, I don't like the idea of somebody that's very talented that wants to, you know, take his game to the next level to not be allowed to do that. Now, a Thon situation, it will be interesting to see what happens. You know, the NBA rule, obviously, you know, 19 and 1 year removed from high school. And if the NBA is going to, you know, allow his situation, being at Athletes Institute, as a prep, to be that, you know, to suffice in making that move. So I think we're all curious to see how that's going to play out. But, you know, Thon, here's the thing that I think people forget. The college game is not what it used to be. You know, you don't have, it used to be, hey, go to college and develop your game and become a player. Well, the college coach is not the same animal that it used to be. The college coach today has to recruit, win, or get fired. So, it's simple as that. And if you go to a college school, say, and, you know, if you can't help that coach win, he's going to option two. And if option two can't help, he's going to option three. So it's not about developing you and getting you to where you need to be after 4 years. It's about that coach winning or losing his job. That's really what college basketball is evolving to. And you look at all the coaches that are up for Coach of the Year honors that are all fired this year. So it's not the same thing. And the NBA game is very different than the college game. And Andrew Wiggins is a great example of that. You know, a lot of people question him at Kansas, saying, hey, look at this. He's not dominating. He's not doing this, not doing that. Well, You know, in the college game, I can take two guys that have nothing to do with the game and stick them in your way all game long. You know, you don't have any illegal zones. You don't have this. You don't have that. I could take him, put over here. I might not have any other guys, but, your team may not have some other guys take pressure off. So I can basically put somebody in your nose the whole night long and you're not going to be able to operate freely. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do that in the NBA. The NBA is much more open, much more free for a player with tremendous talent to operate. So you can sit there and say, okay, you go to college and you can learn a game that, quite frankly, you're not going to be able to use.
Huh.
Or you can go to the NBA and learn the craft that you're going to be playing in hopefully the next 10 years.
Mm.
So, you know, I look at a player like Thon and I look at his skill set. I don't see a skill set like his necessarily benefiting from the college experience.
Really?
You're 7 feet tall, put the ball on the floor, shoot threes, and do all those different things. It's very difficult, really, to thrive, I believe, in the college environment. Whereas the NBA, where there's much more open, much more free, much more movement, you know, where you can utilize, his size. And, you know, whether he's ready right now or not, it really doesn't matter because most of the guys that come into the NBA are not ready. And the NBA has become more about development, quite honestly, than the college game because there's so many young guys and they're all projected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I look at a Thon Maker, you know, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to go through his workouts. He's going to impress a lot of people. And you know, if he's able to play, I think, you know, some team is definitely going to take a gamble on him and give him an opportunity. And over time, he's going to be able to show he can play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that he's coming out of an environment like Athletes Institute where, you know, he made a choice to be here. He made a choice to stay here. Now he's potentially going to the NBA draft right out of the school here, which is a great selling point for all these kids.
Of course. And I just want to play devil's advocate real quick, before we move on. Now, me and my co-host, we had this debate yesterday about the idea of using Corey Joseph as a good example as somebody who was one and done, who didn't necessarily seem like somebody who was ready to go right away, and he went late in the first round. Now, there was a guy who got picked up in probably one of the best situations as far as San Antonio Spurs are concerned, but there is a kid who's pretty much had been spending his entire playing career since he was 16 in Texas, then going on to play for Texas, the Longhorns, and then basically it's only about a 90-minute drive from San Antonio to Austin. Right in their backyard, San Antonio was able to see this kid pretty much develop. I'm sure Pop may have asked a few questions about him before the team eventually drafted him, more specifically the GM as well over there. Now, let's play devil's advocate for a second now. The Toronto Raptors have two picks in the first round, depending on how the Nuggets or the Knicks perform. And how interesting would you think it would be for a team that pretty much has had this player in their backyard for the past 2 years? What do you think would be the likelihood that Toronto would take a look at him if he was available?
Well, you know, first of all, I think Masai Ujiri will takes a look at everybody. So
yeah.
whether that player is in his backyard or that player is back in Australia or wherever, it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to understand about San Antonio that I've been saying this for years. If I was an NBA GM, I would park my car outside their locker room and training camp.
Yeah.
Whoever they cut, I'm going to get my hands on because they spend so much time and energy in scouting and developing and research and this and that everybody they bring in, they've done their homework on. So the fact that Corey Joseph was nearby, for San Antonio certainly didn't hurt. But,
yeah.
You know, San Antonio also is a team that has the luxury of taking their time. They knew that Corey Joseph was not ready to play. And had Corey Joseph, not been taken by them, you know, his career may have gone in an entirely different direction. And that's not a knock on him, but at the time that he put his name in the draft, he really wasn't ready. But San Antonio is a team that can, put you there, send you their D-League team, develop you, take their time with you. You can learn with all the veteran players. And it became an unbelievable situation for him. The Toronto Raptors right now really have to be prudent in their choices because it's not just about, you know, getting a guy for the future. I mean, they did that with Caboclo.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have, one, a need to yeah, plan for the future, but two, you want players that can impact your organization now and continue to take you to that next level in your development. So whether a Thon Maker can offer that now, I don't know. But I can assure you that, you know, he's been watched like every other player, intently by Masai Ujiri and their scouts. You know, Masai Ujiri said this last year before, he ever got Corey Joseph, that believe me, we're spending a lot of time in Canada looking for Canadians. But even though Thon's not necessarily a Canadian, he kind of falls into that. But we're not just going to put somebody in a team because that's what they are or that's where they're from.
And getting back to the BioSteel game, as you said at the beginning of this interview, you've had an opportunity to be a little bit more intimately involved in this than most people, I think, would necessarily know. So going into this game, obviously we all know the big names. We know the Khalif Youngs. We know the Thon Makers and the Mator Makers as well, to make an argument for him as well. And even Ignis Brazdeikis after the kind of, you know, coming out party he had against Oak Hill Academy, the Jordan Brand Classic. Is there anybody that you think people should be able to take a look at, or someone that you're expecting may surprise a few people during this game?
Well, you mentioned, you know, Brazdeikis, that, you know, I think Ignis is a special player. And, you know, one of the other perspectives that I have is I have a lot of schools that call me, that I have relationships with and ask me about these kids. And, it's amazing the interest that they have. You know, it'll be put out, well, this guy's got this school and this guy's got a couple of these schools. Trust me, there's a lot more schools than they list as far as the interest goes with all these players. And, you know, Brazdeikis is an intriguing player because he can score inside, outside. He's very deceptively athletic, and just has a cool demeanor on the floor. Another kid that I really like is Jalen Llewellyn. You know, he's a player that, I think has tremendous potential, to do a lot of good things on the floor. I mean, he defensively, he can really get after you with guard. You know, he can run the floor. He's getting much better shooting the basketball. You know, last year was kind of the first time he's leading a team. I think he's a player that, has a great upside. A player that's not in the prep league, but a player that's already represented Canada at the junior level, Danilo Juricic at St. Mike's.
Yes.
You know, he's a player that, I tell you what, I can't go anywhere, without college coaches coming up to me and talking to me about him. And, you know, he's a very special talent, that sometimes can get lost in, say, a BioSteel type of environment, or, you know, even at St. Mike's, they had a younger group at St. Mike's, and the team struggled at times. But when you put him at a high level, like a national team, a junior national team, or, you know, I watched him play with his bounce team, where you have a high-level group of kids around him, his game just goes off the charts because of his basketball IQ. You know, a BioSteel game is, you know, it's an all-star game. So,
yeah.
Games like that aren't necessarily conducive to everybody. But Juricic is a player that in the right environment, you know, he just does everything well. And, when you watch him play, you don't look at the stats. You just watch the little things that he does, that'll jump out at you that have, as I said, I have countless coaches coming up to me. And talking about him and how impressed they are with what he does.
Last question, Leo. How many years do you think it's going to take for this event to start turning into a seniors-only event, much like the McDonald's All-Americans? Or do you think it's even necessary at all to do that?
I think it would be great to have something like that, and I think this is well on its way. I mean, last year it was extremely well received, and hey, the fact that you're on national TV across the country. That's a huge thing for these kids. You know, like I said, I just go back, you know, when I was coming up, I mean, there was nothing. But, you know, like I said, think about, you know, the fact that, you know, a major national network like TSN is spent a great deal of time, you know, they're going to be there. I know for a fact that, you know, I'll be there on Saturday and Sunday I'll be gone, but TSN is going to be there for the futures game, the slam dunk, the 3-point competition. They're, you know, they're getting bios together and all these kids and all that stuff to promote the game. You know, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge for these kids to have that at home. And for people across Canada to know who they are. So, you know, I think it's well on its way to becoming, you know, a McDonald's All-Star game. And although the difference to me, you know, the McDonald's All-Star game can bring in a few Canadian kids that are playing over there. That's happened.
Yeah.
I would like to see, make sure this stays as guys playing in Canada or Canadians abroad coming back. I want to keep this because the United States, for example, McDonald's doesn't need, their kids don't need any more promotion. You know
yeah. Yeah. No, well said.
Anything you can give the Canadian kids in Canada would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope it stays like that and just continues to grow. But, I think it's thrilling for these kids. The Jordan Brand games where I know these kids, the kids love the opportunity to play, and those were televised nationally. So, these are just great things that are coming, and I think it's just going to continue to get better. One thing I'd love to see, kind of off topic, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's an extension of this. I'd love to see the Canadian universities, eventually kind of get to a Division One where you take the top schools that want to recruit, that want to have to give scholarships, that want to really compete at a high level, and you have your own kind of Division One in Canada where you give kids even more of a reason to stay here because the CIS is elevating every year because of the number of kids playing now that, you know, by default you're going to get kids that are going to stay
mm-hmm.
that are pretty good. But if you give them even more reason to stay, I think that's kind of the next progression. And if your Canadian university system gets even better, that's all part of the overall development. So, I'm a big believer in, you know, this grassroots stuff, at the high school stuff, the CIS, all that's just going to keep developing the game in this country. And that's just great to see.
Leo, it's been an absolute pleasure. The insight you've been able to share with us today, I don't think I could have found it anywhere put together more articulately. So thank you so much for taking the time talking with us today. And I had an opportunity to be at the BioSteel last year, and I saw these events, and it was a hell of a show. So it's really exciting to see this back for another year. And it's always great to see people such as yourself that have played such a huge part in Canada's game up here to take such an active role in this. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Oh, Ryan, appreciate the kind words. And like I said, even, you know, for an old guy like myself, it's just, it's thrilling to be a part of the, you know, the growth in this game. It, you know, whether it's announcing it or watching it or, you know, watching my kid, it's just a thrill for me. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. And that was a shocker to me. I checked your Wikipedia page. I'm like, he doesn't look a day older than that. That's not right. Looked way younger.
Makeup and a girdle, that's my secret.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time again, Leo Routens. And Leo, we'll talk to you next time. We hope to have you back sometime. We greatly appreciate it.
Anytime, let me know.
All right, thanks a lot, Leo, and have a great day. That's Leo Routens, Canada Basketball, anything you name it, he's done it. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Ryan.
Take care. Bye.
And once again, that was Leo Routens, one of the major contributors towards this event. He'll be doing commentary on the game, actually, himself. So, and he was there last year to do commentary as well. So it was an absolute pleasure to have him on the TOT cast to discuss this event. And once again, if you guys are anywhere in Toronto, be sure to go and check it out. It's going to be one heck of an event. It's going to be happening at 7 o'clock at the University of Toronto, downtown campus. Make sure you can try and make it out for that. And that's going to just about wrap it up for this edition of the TOT cast. My name is Ryan Greco, and once again, thank you very much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the interviews, and be sure to check out the BioSteel All-Canadian High School game happening Monday, April 11th. Everybody take care and have yourselves a great night.